Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
All right, so we're back, and I have a couple of things I want to share with you before I jump into my encouragement. The first one happens to be an event that we're going to be hosting April 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's Thursday evening, all day Friday, and all day Saturday. And the seminar is entitled The Art of Hearing God. Now, I want you to think about this. It's been over a year since we've had sort of a public y'all come gathering where we're inviting people not only from our fellowship, but from even neighboring states. People are registering for this, and I'm excited to be able to host this. And so I would love for you to come. Janine Rodriguez is going to be facilitating this. We've known her for many years. 12 years ago, she came to this fellowship and taught in dream interpretation course, and then later an advanced course on that. Many of us know her. I personally, Tiffany and I, we have been in dear relationship with she and her husband, Ian, for many, many years. I'd love to have you come. There'll be a link in the description of how you can get registered for that event. But again, I would just love for you and for anyone that you'd like to invite to come and be a part of that. So The Art of Hearing God, April 15th, 16th, and 17th. I'm really excited about that. The next thing that I'd like to talk about is actually the leadership retreat that the Austins and the Bovies and the Haggertys went on as couples. And so the six of us went up to Salida for 3 days, and we had tremendous conversations, fantastic time being together, good food, good place to stay at an Airbnb, and really just some good listening, prayer, and encouragement for one another. And so we came away from that just so refreshed, and we're so grateful. I just want to extend gratitude to you. Look, the way that you all have been continuing to support this ministry at Emmaus Fellowship made that possible. And so thank you so much for all the ways that you continue to support this ministry. And we look forward to what the Lord has as a result of us getting together like that. I do know that there was one particular phrase that kind of stood out. There were many things, but one of the encouragements that we felt from the Lord was to make room. Now, some have already been thinking about this prior to our retreat, but man, the Lord really highlighted that. It's like he put a spotlight on that. Make room. Make room. Okay, well, there's a lot of ways we can interpret that. There's a lot of ways we could apply that. But I want to just simply say this. The Lord is encouraging us to make room. And that means what? That means making room for him. That means making room for others. That means making room for the destiny of God over your life. That means making room for your brilliance, the way that God's created you to just rise up and shine without limitations. Make room. Make room for people you don't even know yet to come into the faith. Make room as a fellowship for us to welcome them, to be a safe place for them to be discipled, for them to grow in their faith and understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Make room. And my goodness, I am excited about that, because if the Lord's encouraging us to make room, then that means that he wants to fill it. But it also is a challenge for us, because I know for myself, a lot of the room that I have in my sense of capacity and my sense of, like, well, I don't know, just what I have margin for in my heart, man, it feels a bit cluttered. It feels like there's some things that I have to take inventory of to try to move out to make room. There's plenty of distractions. There's plenty of ways that my attention gets drawn elsewhere. And so make room is really an important phrase for us right now. And so I wanted to talk to you about that. And it really is fitting. I mean, here we are. We're celebrating the triumphal entrance of Jesus on Palm Sunday. And there's this idea about an entrance in. And in order for the Lord to really enter in, we have to make room. And there's a lot I could say about this. I'll spend some time talking about it, but probably the more specific focus this morning will be on making room for the Lord in your own personal walk with Him, and then making room in your heart for others. And so we'll talk a little bit about that here this morning, okay? So let me read out of Matthew 21, starting in verse 10. And this is the triumphal entrance of Jesus. And the highlight that I want to hit here is the enthusiasm and just the excitement. It really does seem like the people in Jerusalem were making room for the Lord. They were celebrating His entrance in. So as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people went wild with excitement, it says. The entire city was thrown into an uproar. They shouted, "Bring the victory, Lord, Son of David. He is the blessed one sent from the Lord Yahweh. We celebrate with praises to God in the highest." So here you have it. You have these people that are super excited about Jesus coming in, and they're making room for Him. Now, the thing that we can't forget here is that just a few short days later, the same crowd was shouting, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." Oh, so what was the shift? I mean, they went from making room to shutting Him out. And unfortunately, we all run the risk of that different times in our lives, at different times in our day sometimes, you know? And so I would just ask the question, why did the people do that? Why did they shift from celebrating like the King of Glory coming into their city, and then all of a sudden now they're siding with those who wanted to kill Jesus, and they cried out, "Crucify Him," when they had the opportunity of, setting Him free and letting Him go? And I would say primarily it's because He didn't quote unquote bring the victory. Remember, that's what they were crying out, "Bring the victory, Son of David." He didn't bring the victory the way that they wanted Him to. Okay. So they went from making room for Jesus to shutting Him out in a matter of days. And so this is really important because when Jesus comes, He does bring the victory. And sometimes we have our ideas of how He's going to bring the victory. And if we're not careful, we can be offended by the way that He does, relate to us, and the way that He brings the victory, not necessarily in the way that we were hoping for. Now, I want to just talk to you a little bit about one of my favorite worship songs. And it was written by some dear friends of ours, Tim and Lori Thornton. I mean, they just live right down in Cristola. And it's Cascade. They live right down the road. And they wrote this song entitled "The King Himself." And there's this phrase in the chorus. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it quite yet. It says, "Sing out, sing out. The King Himself is coming now. Swing wide the gates for Him. The King Himself is coming now." So think about Jesus coming into your life. You celebrated His entrance, and it changed everything. Think about that. Just draw back to those memories of when you first discovered the amazing grace of Jesus, that He was offering you forgiveness. He was offering you eternal life. He was offering you grace. And he did not put a lot of, as a friend of mine recently said, there weren't seven steps that you had to step through in order to get to Jesus. There was really only one, and that was for you to let Him in. That was for you to swing wide the gates, to let Jesus, the King, come in. And He changed everything, didn't He? I mean, you became a new creation. You became a new person. All of your sins were forgiven. Your mistakes were forgiven. I mean, what a clean slate. I mean, I want you to remember that. I mean, I can remember when that happened. I was a sophomore in high school, and it was as though the weight of the world just lifted off of me, and it was like I was floating for days. And it has continued over the course of now decades to be an experience of, just encountering Jesus and Him bringing such an incredible mercy, such incredible grace, such incredible redemption and repair and restoration. All of these things are true about Jesus. And this is what we fell in love with. And it was just such an easy entrance in when we really got it, you know, when we realized that his kindness was the invitation leading us into a repentant life of change and transformation. It's amazing. So you received him. You received the incredible, unmerited gift of his mercy. And as he tells us in Revelation 3:20, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if your heart is open to hear my voice, I will open, And if your heart is open to hearing my voice and you open the door within, I will come in to you and I will feast with you and you will feast with me. All right. So again, Jesus is saying, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if your heart is open to hearing me and you're open to the door to me, I will come in and I will feast with you and you will feast with me. In other words, the original invitation of Jesus to enter into your life was, hey, if you're willing to make room, if you're willing to make room, I will come in. I'll come in. Just make some room. Just say yes. Just be willing. And so you opened your heart to Jesus. And you were essentially echoing those who lined the streets of Jerusalem who were shouting at his entrance, bring the victory, Lord. Bring the victory, Lord, son of David. Bring the victory. And he brought the victory. He brought the victory. He saved you. He saved me. Not only saved me from, you know, eternity without a relationship with God, he saved us from the law of sin and death. He saved us. And so this morning, as we're talking about this triumphal entrance of Jesus into your life, I want to talk about a little bit about that process of making room for him. Because there's an encouragement in scripture that as you originally came to know Jesus, so live in that way. So there's this constant working it out, isn't there? There's like working out your salvation. It can be interpreted in this context as constantly making room for Jesus, constantly making room for Jesus. The communion that he offers, we have to make room for that. We have to hearken back to some very, I don't know if they're simple, but they're very clear spiritual practices. You might even call them disciplines. And what they are ways for you and I to make room for Jesus. They're things like a quiet time where you set time apart to simply be with Jesus, to be with him as you read his word, to be with him in prayer as you listen. And really, as Jesus says, I will feast with you and you will feast with me. So you're feasting on what? You're feasting on the goodness of God. You're feasting on that. You're tasting and you're seeing that the Lord is good. And so I want to encourage us as we're making room, as you make room for the Lord in your life, to hearken back to some of those disciplines. But don't do it in a religious way. Don't be like, well, if I didn't have my quiet time, I'm going to have a terrible day and the enemy's going to beat me up all day. No, not necessarily. There's grace for this. Find the spirit of the discipline. And the spirit of it is this. You're positioning yourself to receive the grace that's available to you from Jesus. And so as you exercise these spiritual practices, you're making room for the Lord. And you're, in a sense, very real. You're feasting with the Lord. You're having communion with him, and communion is it's beautiful. It's communing with the one who is your source. So that's making room for Jesus. Now, this morning, I also wanted to talk to you about making room for others in your heart. Because anytime we focus on a relationship with Jesus and we encounter the love of Jesus and we experience the goodness of Jesus, you have to know that there's going to be an outlet for you to then express it to others. You receive it and you give it. You receive it and you give it. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. You open yourself and you make room for the King of Glory to come in and commune with you so that you can open your heart to others and have communion with them. And so I want to just talk a little bit about that. And I want to draw, first of all, from this, it's a writing of 2 Corinthians 6. This is Paul, and he's writing to his friends in Corinth. And he says this: our hearts are wide open to you, and we speak freely, holding nothing back from you. And then he's kind of pointing to a challenge in their relationship. If there is a block in our relationship, he says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 6, if there is a block in our relationship, it's not us. For we carry you in our hearts with great love. Yet you still withhold your affections from us. So I speak to you as like sons and daughters in the Lord, as children. And I'm asking you, this is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 13, make room in your hearts for us as we have done for you. So make room. Yes, we make room for the Lord. He comes in. We're different because of that. It's incredible. And we make room for others. And this is probably, I would say this may be the bigger challenge for us in the season that we're coming out of, because there's been plenty of isolation and there's been plenty of new patterns of isolation and disconnect. And so for us to really start to make room, we have to allow the Lord to do some inventory. And one of the things that I know for a fact in my own personal life, and I've talked with many others, they feel the same way. It's this feeling of being depleted. It's this feeling of not even having margin. Like you don't even have enough room in your hearts for any more people. You hardly have enough room in your heart for the people that God's placed like right there in your family and where you work and some of your dearest friends. And so this idea about opening up your heart and making room for others, it's like, I don't know if I have any room. Like, I don't know if I have enough room for more. Well, I just want to encourage you that there's a way for your hearts to actually expand and grow and have a capacity for more. And so this may be kind of an interesting twist on the morning, but I actually want to draw our attention to Luke 6. Now, Luke 6 historically has been preached time and time again to get people to give more money at church, right? But I would say that the context here is a lot different than that. Sure, we could probably go that angle with it, and that's fine. I'm sure the principles apply to giving money and giving resources as much as it is about giving other things. But I would say in what we're talking about here this morning, it's about giving of yourself by making room for others to come in. And so Jesus says this in Luke 6, 37 and 38. Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, and you will not be criticized and judged in return. Don't condemn others, and you will not be condemned. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. Verse 38, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. So this is Jesus speaking in Luke 6. Now, this is powerful. Of course, we could say that, give in all capacities, giving. But if you think about this, Luke 6, Jesus is saying, be merciful, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive. And in this way, you're being generous. Just like Jesus was incredibly generous to us, right? When he stands at the door and knocks, He knows whose house he's knocking at, right? He knows the challenges that we have. He knows our brokenness. He knows our frailty and our immaturity. He knows all of these things, and yet he is choosing to be merciful. He's choosing not to judge. He's choosing not to condemn. And he's choosing to forgive. And that's the generosity of his heart that we're receiving, that we're making room for when we allow him to come in and have communion with us. And in the same way then, in just the same way that we have received that from the Lord, we are encouraged, make room in your hearts for others by choosing to be merciful, by not judging them, by not condemning them, by forgiving them over and over and over again. And let this be the primary expression of your generosity. Not only will you experience mercy and forgiveness yourself, but you will be given a larger capacity to love. You'll be able to make room for others as you choose this as a lifestyle of suspending criticism and judgment of others, and of not condemning others and offering forgiveness on a consistent basis. This is the way that your generosity is expressed. And get this, abundant gifts will pour out from you. It will overflow over the top. Get this, generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Now, your translation may say pressed down and shaken, and then overflowing. The shaking and the pressing, all right, you have to know that that's a generous merchant who is filling up your basket with, you know, granular stuff, whether that's rice or grain or coffees or whatever it is, and pouring it into your basket. So this, all the context of this is, you know, like first generation marketplace, any generation marketplace. I mean, you go around the world today and there's still marketeers that will fill your basket and charge you. But here's the deal, like to press it and to shake it, it means to like get all of the space that's available so that more can come, more can come. And so when we choose a life of generosity, the Lord creates for us, even in a shaking, even in a pressing, a larger capacity to love. So there's my encouragement, my friends. There's so much more that I could talk about with this, but I just want to just offer this. Make room for the Lord, make room for others, even when you feel depleted, by offering them that generosity of choosing to be merciful, choosing not to judge, choosing not to condemn people, choosing to forgive people. And in doing so, letting that be an expression of generosity, you will actually, even in the shaking and the pressing, you'll experience an enlarging capacity to make room for more and more and more. And the promise is there. It'll be poured out to you. It'll be an incredible exchange. And so with that, my friends, I'll just leave it there, and we'll come back for a couple of prompts here in just a moment. Thank you. It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.